Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm going to start off with something that's probably going to be kind of surprising to all of you. I just want to give a tip of the hat to some good pastors out there. There are some good pastors out there, and I want you to know I hear from them. I make a lot of pastors mad. And the truth of it is we all run a danger when we paint with a broad brush, right? We say all coaches, all pastors, all teachers, all elected officials. Anytime you do that, you throw paint on somebody maybe who doesn't deserve it. But I just want to acknowledge it. I want all of you folks that are listening to know this. I hear regularly from pastors who are so encouraged by being part of this huddle because their borders are being expanded as well. They're beginning to think about and talk about things that they never really dove into before or for whatever reason, never broached those subjects. And they're saying, my goodness, our people are feeding off of it. They love it. They love it. So again, I always use the same thing. You can't teach what you haven't done. And you certainly can't teach what you don't know. And I've been like all of us. Listen, your pastor, God bless your pastor. He is a prisoner or a product of his, as we would call it in football, his coaching tree. You say, well, coach, what's a coaching tree? Well, coaching tree is, let's start with Woody Hayes at Ohio State University. If you begin to go down through Woody Hayes' coaching tree, maybe it ought to go up, I guess, rather than down. Woody would have been, he would have been the trunk of the tree. And off of the trunk of the tree, you would have seen George Chomp. You would have seen Bo Schembechler. You would have seen, I could go on and on and on with coaches that came off of Woody's coaching tree. You could do it with Nick Saban. Nick Saban at the University of Alabama, his coaching tree came through Ohio State University, which is, by the way, off of the same tree as Woody Hayes. And Nick Saban, just in the championship game, got beat by Kirby Smart, who was coached under Nick Saban. So Nick Saban was beaten by one of his proteges. You understand this? It's a coaching tree. We learn as we go through this thing. And can I ask you a question? If you were to just sit back and ask yourself this, what coaching tree is your pastor connected to? Because his coaching tree will determine so much of what he teaches. And yesterday, I just know this. When we get into the supernatural, when we begin to start to talk about things like Mount Hermon, fallen angels, 200 angels, Nephilim, most guys have never been connected to that coaching tree at all. Ever, 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 ever. And as they begin to listen, they begin to study it. I know this happens. After the show's over, a lot of them go dig out their Bible. And they go look and they say, Bobby Gunn, I never saw that before. I never saw that. Why did you never see it? Because the trunk of the tree that you're connected to never talked about it. And that's how we end up with denominationalism and so much of a lack of, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't understand. So with all your understanding. And so I don't know what you do with this. If I was a pastor, maybe this is advice to pastors. I don't know what you do if you are a pastor and you come to a deeper truth or a deeper understanding. I don't know how you bridge that gap to your congregation. Because the truth of the matter is, they may not be ready for it. Because why? They've been sitting under your shade tree for 20 years. And all they know about Christianity is the little bit that you have trained. Not the little bit, it's been broad. But there have been certain areas that you just have never, ever gone into. They've never gone into it. And now as a pastor, like yesterday, when we talk about was Jesus a pacifist? And you take people to Revelation 19. He says he's coming back. His eyes is a flame of fire. He's coming back in righteousness. He's going to judge. He's going to make war. And all of a sudden, your perspective changes from a loving, caring, tolerant Jesus to this guy. Whoa. Now, what do you do with that as a pastor? Whoa. You know something? That's pastor. I'm playing a pastor. The pastor reads that and says, wow, that really bears witness with me. Wow. Well, how do you bring along a group of people that you've pastored for 15 years, you've never talked about it? How do you open that door? How do you present? See, that's the problem I think many are dealing with. And there's a great unveiling and revealing that's going on before us right now, where pastors in particular are beginning to realize something deeper is going on than what they understand. And they're beginning, because they do really, some of them really do care about their flocks. Some of them now are searching, what do I say to my people? We got these vaccines coming. We find out that they're poison. I can't trust it. How do I, as a pastor, after 20 years of teaching one way, how do I shift gears? How do I go a different direction? And I just think that we need to be cognizant of that and give grace to guys. As I said, listen, I'm no expert, right? That I decided I was going to stop listening to my pastor and I was going to start doing some research on my own. When I did some research on my own, it took me a direction that I would have never gone. But when I went that direction, that took me to a direction I would have never gone had I continued in the type of Christianity I was living. When I stepped out of the boat and went to a different direction, a whole new frontier opened up to me. And I began to look at it. Not that what I'd been taught was wrong, but that what I'd been taught was incomplete. That's what we're dealing with. Let me make this point, by the way. I rewatched yesterday's show. I don't always do it, but I did yesterday. And I made myself nervous when I was watching me, because my eyes kept doing this. Look, folks, I have a monitor. I have two monitors. I have a monitor here and I have a monitor here. So when I'm talking to you and I look up here, that was really distracting to me. I'm looking for people who have their hands up in the air. I'm looking for different things. So give me some grace on that, okay? Because as I watched it, it was really, really distracting. But why won't that guy look me in the eye? Well, I am looking in the eye the best that I can, but I'm looking at other things here as well, okay? I got a computer over here in this multi-million-dollar studio that I'm in. So I want to encourage all of you. First of all, you'd be lying if you didn't say that you've grown more spiritually in your life than any time in your life in the time that you've been in this huddle. Not because of me, but because of the subjects that we take on. And in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. If you haven't grown, you're either lying or you're not paying attention, right? So understand this. Where were you 5 years ago in your walk? Where were you 2 years ago in your walk? Where were you a year ago in your walk? And if these things begin to unveil to you, we learn in part, the Bible says, we understand in part, and we don't all get it at the same time, right? So I said it again yesterday. I'm not the expert. I'm the chef. I dish it up. I dish it up and we cut it up. And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy. But I have to cover something else as well, because I think this is critical for us to understand. The more we remain over the target, the more infiltration we're going to get. All right? And you have to understand that is part of what we do here. And here's what I know. Much of the infiltration happens in the after show. So many people say, what? The after show? Oh, yeah, we have an after show. We have a before show and an after show. Much of the infiltration is coming in the after show. Just realize that. Trust but verify, Ronald Reagan said, right? That's what we all need to do. So as we sit here today on the 13th of January, 2022, wow, who could ever say that? I'm just grateful again for the chance to be able to come here for you, throw a piece of meat on the table, and let's chew it up and let's spit it out. And let's try to do what the Bible says, not be like those silly women who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to know the truth. I don't want to just hang on to something because I feel secure in it. Like, for instance, what they call the blessed hope. Bible says, if you have hope in this world only, you're of all men most miserable. I have hope beyond the grave. I don't need to hang on to my theology here to make me feel secure. Well, that's that. Another thing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. A lot of you guys are sending me great information. And if ask my wife, I need to get off the couch some. You guys send me information and I devour it all. I look at all of it. I do. Some of those videos are hour and 20 minutes long. You have any idea what my day would look like if I look at all those things? And then a second thing that's going on, and I have to talk to our webmaster about this. I don't know what the issue is. A lot of the emails I get go into the spam. I have no idea. Sometimes I'll go down through my spam and there will be an email from somebody that sent me 2 days ago. What I would consider an important email, not an email of vulgarity. I get a lot of those. So if you don't get back, if you don't hear back from me, it's not because I don't care. It's went into the spam, probably, or whatever. Some of you send me things just that are informational. I try to respond to everyone, but I don't. I look at everything. I don't. Maybe you send me a video. It's 45 minutes long. I may not watch all of it. I'll get the gist of what's going on, and if it touches me, piques my interest, and then I'll continue watching. So I want you to know, thank you, all of you out there who give me, what do I call, get material? Because I do play off of some of them. I do get it. And I always tell everybody, I know a lot more than I let on, okay? And I don't ever want to bring to you guys something that I consider to be falsehood without saying to you, I don't know if this is true. But I come to you guys because you guys help lead me to truth. You help all of us get directed to truth. So I just wanted to get that off my chest here at 7:15 on Wednesday morning. I'm going to be in Avon Lake, Ohio tonight. Avon Lake. Honored to be invited to speak to some type of Republican group up there. There it is, Avon Lake Republican Club. Friends, I want to say this as clearly as I can. I vote Republican, but I don't consider myself a Republican. Just want to say that. They like to slap labels on us, right? I'll be more than happy to speak to the Avon Lake Democrat Club. More than happy to, right? And then this week, Mike Blake's having his Salt and Light Brigade here in Newark. And then next weekend, I got to just take some time and talk about some of these things. Kentucky Salt and Light Brigade, we're going to go to the Huddle. I'm sorry, the Creation Museum. We're going to go to the Ark. It's going to be great. Chad's having one next week, his Salt and Light Brigade Assembly. We got one, and good things are happening. Craig, Mr. Zero, is putting on a Maryland Salt and Light Brigade. These are 3 weekends in a row that we're going to be going on. And then all of a sudden it jumps to April. By the way, I think that one's canceled, Spencer. I think at April 3rd, Huddle in Iowa is canceled. It's time for you to get your huddle on there. Get one organized, get a huddle going, because ultimately at some point you're going to have people around you that are going to stand with you. Myra, come on in.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? Coach, thank you. I have grown spiritually by listening to your show, and I want to read Romans 15:6 in regard to unity, that ye may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God bless you.
Thank you, Myra. Huh? All one. Folks, our team can't win in 17 different huddles or silos. That's part of the process I think the Lord's working on right now. Larry, come on in, then Kevin, then Jeff. Go, Larry.
Yeah, Coach. What you first 5 minutes was today is what the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning dealing with me about these poor pastors. Some of them actually do love the Lord, and they are preaching the gospel of the Satanic Social Club because that's all they know.
That's right.
And then I says, Lord, well, where's the dividing line? How do you, Jesus sent the majority of the people that call him Lord to hell, according to Matthew chapter 7. I said, where's the dividing line? How do they tell between when it's ignorance is an excuse and ignorance is not an excuse? And I, all I got was Jeremiah. When truth is embedded in your heart, that what the word says is true, and that hits your heart, if you don't go out and repeat that truth, that's the dividing line. That's when you don't step into that.
That's when the abortion occurs, isn't it, Larry? When that word is put in your mouth and you don't utter it. Yeah. I'm so proud of my wife. Let me tell you something. Every day I thank God for her. Michelle does some volunteer at a local, I'm not going to name the place, it doesn't matter, a Christian Goodwill type thing, all right? Goodwill, by the way, is not Christian. Salvation Army isn't anymore, by the way. But Michelle, she volunteers at this Christian good organization that hands out and helps people. And she shows up yesterday, and they tell her she's got to put on a mask. My little sweetheart came home. But she didn't come home until she had read the Riot Act to everybody in that building about how they don't work, we're being manipulated. See, it's exactly what Larry says. If the Lord puts the word in your mouth and you don't utter it, it's disobedience. Now, why don't we utter it? Because we're afraid of offending men. Jesus said, if you will not stand up for me in front of men, I ain't standing up for you in front of my Father. That's what he says. I think it's serious stuff. And I think that we're in the mess that we're in because for too long, men love their own lives more than they love the Lord. They will not say the difficult thing because they don't want to offend or they don't want to be an outcast. Folks, we got to get through, especially at this time. I'm going to show you some stuff here in the morning. Kevin, come on in then, Jeff. Yay, Michelle. God bless Michelle. Gosh, she makes me proud when she does that.
Came amen.
She was hotter than a hornet, man. She was looking for something to sting. Daggone, she was hot.
Go, right? Michelle.
She's tired of the lies.
that would be a sight to see.
Yes, it would
March
be.
5th, March 5th, Saturday, March 5th at 5:30, I've secured a building. I will be making an official announcement for a political office at that time. Most likely, probably something to do with a commission here in Newton County. And I want to see if I can turn it into like a little huddle, fun fellowship, just a little get together, fun fellowship and food. And I'm also trying to see if I can get in touch with Dan Fisher to come up and do a Black Robe Regiment skit at that time. Then on March 20th, I've been asked to speak with Professor Toto, is doing a event up at Rolla, Missouri. I've been asked to speak at that. So I feel good. It's a blessing and an honor to do that. So March 20th up at Rolla, I'll be posting some stuff and I'll send it to get it put up on the website. So.
Amen. Yeah, good for you, Kevin. And listen, friends, listen to me. I have this conversation with my dear friend, Mike Heath, all the time, who's, as you know, running for governor in Maine. And I tell Mike, I tell Kevin, it's not about winning. I tell Jeff Klein, it's not about winning. It's about the platform, folks. It's about the platform. And by the platform, I mean the opportunity to speak publicly and to be heard. It's critical that we understand that. More and more of us are going to have to run for public office simply because we may be the only truth that those people hear. All right. So you run to win. Of course you run to win, but it isn't about winning. It's about the platform and about the opportunity to speak the truth. The words, the Lord said, he will bring you before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak, because it's not you that's speaking, but your Father that's speaking through you. Folks, we can't miss these opportunities to speak the truth, especially speak the truth to power. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, real quick, next Saturday we're doing that March for Life in Mount Vernon. So there's supposed to be a bunch of politicians there, so we're going to shock and all that thing. Then we got another school board meeting tonight. This will be the third one this week. So there's some good things happening. little by little, we're getting a few little victories. Yesterday, I met with that superintendent at 8. Yesterday morning, we finally got together at 8:30. Two restaurants were closed. We couldn't even get coffee. We finally drove to the third one. I mean, he was adamant. He was going to do this. Followed me to the third restaurant. We sit for an hour and a half till 10 o'clock. I did 3/4 of the talking. He listened. And then he added some things. And he added, and it's like you just said with the pastors. I'm thinking what we ought to do is let's call up your everybody in your local areas. Call a pastor. Say, can I meet with you? Just go sit down with him. He did yesterday, and he ended up in the hour and a half asking me things like, Jeff, what can we do to stop that?
Wow, is that something? So, folks, is it possible? Hang on, Jeff, I'm sorry. Yeah. Is it possible that this man's crying for help? He's in a position of authority. Maybe he is really a Christian, a true Christian, and he's crying for help. And he isn't finding it from the pulpit. He isn't finding it any place else. He says, I want to do the right thing, but I'm alone. I'm isolated. I have nobody standing with me. We have to, folks, we have to sometimes pull back with our criticism and look and say, well, man, what's this guy dealing with? What is this guy dealing with? And see, I'm not making an excuse, but Jeff, it's the same thing I said about Donald Trump. Sometimes he did some things I couldn't believe he did and said, but the truth of it is, I don't know what he's dealing. I don't know what he's dealing with. I don't know. Right. Is he trying to build alliances because he needs some support? Maybe a lot of that's going on. So,
part of the conversation went to, he's like, what? He's just like, and he's talking about, he don't want that bad stuff in them books, getting in them little kids' minds. He's already went in and started investigating all the books. He said, I want them pulled, whatever's in there. I give him some examples of The King and the King and My Two Daddies. He said, well, The King and the King ain't real bad. I said, but it's bad. Mm-hmm. Why do we put any bad in a six-year-old's mind?
He said, you're right.
It's bad. So then I went through it with him. I said, you know, I explained to him that the reason why we're in the mess room is because of the pulpits. We are in this mess. Then I went to John 10. We went through John 10. And I said, some of these guys don't know.
Stop a minute, Jeff. See, Jeff has fallen exactly into what I'm saying, right? Jeff Klein is being equipped for the work of the ministry. Folks, do you understand the power of what he's telling us? He was able to take what he heard from us and apply it to somebody who needed to hear it. That's what we're all supposed to be able to do, to equip Jeff for the work of the ministry. Gone, Jeff.
I shared with him about Mount Hermon. I mean, we were going through stuff in the Bible. You know what I mean? So Tom Branstrom called me right after I met with him. Tom and I come to this conclusion real quick. I said, told him what he said. There's a lot more. I ain't got time for all of it. Tom says, we've already met a couple of pastors in the area that's teaming up with us. I told Cedar, I said, I'm going to call the other superintendents. I'm going to get meetings with them. The other three, we got four of them in our county. So I'm going to get with every one of them and sit down with them. And then Tom Branstall says, Jeff, let's do this. He said, let's tell the other superintendents and some of these, the pastors especially, say, hey, pastor, Mr. Bill Cedar's looking for help. Can you come
back to that school? Amen.
So we're going to turn it all around and use it. It's great.
What if the pastors simply picked up the, I'm sorry. What if the pastors simply told their congregations to pick up the phone and call the superintendent and tell them that they are in support of him if he pushes righteous standards in the school, they stand in support of him. What if we just did that? What if we just did that? How many phone calls would it take till that guy, pardon me, grew a pair?
Yep.
Well, maybe he really wants to do what's right. He wants to do what's right.
I told Bill yesterday, I said, Bill, I know you can't do this on your own. They're going to fire you. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your car. You're going to lose everything. But if these pastors would come on board and come in here and stand, we could help you.
Amen. Come on, Chad.
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. Bring up my latest there. Folks, I got to tell you two things here before we go forward. I wrote a commentary today and I want to read it. It goes right in line with this. But I got to tell you this. I don't know if the Holy Spirit told me this. I don't know. But I feel it's imperative that I make you aware of this. We are being set up, friends. This whole January 6th MAGA, patriots, we're vaccines, we're being set up. And here's how we're being set up. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Here's what's going on. In not too distant future, we are going to find, you hear me, a MAGA supporting anti-vax white man shoot somebody. Listen, you better hear me. That's what's being set up. And then when that happens, my opinion is it'll be more than just shooting one guy. It'll be somebody showing up at a hospital, somebody showing up someplace and shooting multiple people. And then what's going to be the hue and cry from the government? What's going to be the hue and cry from the government? Yeah, boy! Those anti-vax white Trump supporters! It's coming, friends. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Start telling your friends. Start telling your friends that this is being set up. Did you hear what Joe Biden, did you hear what he said the other day? About at least half of the population. Now, we know it's more than half. We know that the majority didn't vote for Joe Biden. We know that. More than half of the people, 33% of the people we just saw are in support of Joe Biden. I put a meme on Facebook today. What the hell's wrong with one third of Americans? A third of Americans support this, right? So folks, they have to do something drastic to turn the tide. And I'm telling you, it will be a false flag. Some MAGA supporting anti-vax white guy. They found someplace out in bum Egypt. Going to shoot some people. And the clampdown's coming. You mark my word. Paul, come in.
And then the usual will be followed by that. The FBI says, yeah, we've been tracking him for 2 years and didn't do nothing about it.
Well, Paul, not only that, real quickly, Spence, if you bring this up there, where is it? Whites are terrorists. It's the third one from the second one from the bottom. Did you see this, folks? It's from the FBI. The FBI has now started a new division, and this new division is to track what? Mainstream conservatives. They have now a division or whatever you would call it of the FBI who are out practicing how to take on mainstream conservatives who are domestic terrorists. Folks, this is where you better believe me. This is where this thing is heading. We've already seen that not only that, the military has now taken a branch of their, we used to call them Green Berets. What do they call them now? Whatever. Taking a branch of them and teaching them domestic warfare. They're taking them out in the woods and training them how to fight back against what? Us guys. Us unvaxxed. Folks, trust me. This is what's coming. It's what's coming. January 6th is the key to implementing a frightening, despotic policy that target conservatives. How long has the old coach been saying white, Anglo-Saxon Protestants? We're in the crosshairs. Come on in, Larry, then Joe.
You're absolutely right, Coach. Back in the late 90s, the FBI had training classes for all of their members all across the country, the eastern region. They trained here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and a friend of mine was a waitress at their, you know, at their dinners and stuff they had during their training session. And one guy left all of his training materials in the dining room, and she picked it up and handed it over to me. And in that training material, they definitely, the FBI officially told all their agents across the country, if you're looking for a domestic terrorist, the first place you look is veterans.
There you go, buddy. Joe Allen, come on in. And by the way, get Ted Cruz ready for me there, if you real quick, Spencer, if you can. Go ahead, Joe, then Jeff.
Coach, in all our branches of DOD, they have some form of training. And at the end of their training, they usually go through what you saw was the Green Beret going through the woods and doing their training. And they change, like going into the woods, going into the swamp, going into the desert. So these are regular trainings. Yes. But what Larry just said is when they put a pamphlet into the training or a certain outlook, what they need to start looking for, that changes what they've been doing.
Which is so what they're doing, Joe.
A new program that was sent into that.
Yes, sir. That's what we're dealing with. Amen. I'm going to show you just a second, folks. Jeff Nell, go ahead.
Yeah, in 2005, I got a phone call from my wife. I said, Jeff, the National Guard has totally blocked off our street. So I went to my boss and said, something's really fishy going on. The National Guard Army is blocking my street. So he said, go ahead, go home. I'll go home. And then I had to show my ID, someone that I lived on the street. Then in my house, they finally knocked on our door and asked us what we're going to do in a time of emergency. So, Wow.
It's been in the works for a while. So, folks, I don't know if you saw this. If you have, I'm sorry. Some of you haven't. This is Ted Cruz. Don't get me going on Ted Cruz. But this is Ted Cruz talking to the associate director of the FBI, a woman, of course. Boy, that sounds sexist, doesn't it? I'm just telling you the truth. And Ted Cruz trying to pin her down as to whether or not the FBI was involved with 911. Hey, folks, if somebody came to me and said, Coach Dave, have you and your wife molested any children? I can tell you this. I wouldn't have to answer. I'm not allowed to answer that. I'm sorry, I'm out. Hey, Coach Dave, have you and your wife kidnapped any children? I'm not allowed to answer that. I'd have jumped up on the table and yelled, hell no! Hell no, we haven't! Isn't that what you'd expect? Well, follow this line of thinking here and see what you think. Go ahead.
To the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadler.
Pause that a second. Wouldn't that have been a great opportunity for her to say, hell no, we defend America. Hell no, we would never do that. That'd have been a great time for her to say that, wouldn't it? Go ahead.
Who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered, and there's video out there of him chanting, tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol. This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, fed, 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 fed. Ms. Sanborn, was Ray Epps a fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next day, on January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
Shortly thereafter, the FBI put out a public post seeking information on individuals connected with violent crimes on January 6th. Among those individuals in the bottom there is Mr. Epps. The FBI publicly asked for information, identifying, offering cash rewards leading to the arrest. This was posted, and then, sometime later, magically, Mr. Epps disappeared from the public posting. According to public records, Mr. Epps has not been charged with anything. No one's explained why a person videoed urging people to go to the Capitol, a person whose conduct was so suspect the crowd believed he was a Fed, would magically disappear from the list of people the FBI was looking at. Ms. Sanborn, a lot of Americans are concerned that the federal government deliberately encouraged illegal and violent conduct on January 6th. My question to you, and this is not an ordinary law enforcement question, this is a question of a public accountability. Did federal agents or those in service of federal agent actively encourage violent and criminal conduct on January 6th?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Thank you.
No. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Not to my knowledge, huh? Oh, my goodness, folks. Unbelievable.
See, why couldn't she say that on all the other questions?
Huh? Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
Then she said, I'm not going to answer it.
Oh, my goodness, huh? Unbelievable. All right. Listen, I got something else I want to get into. Let's get into you guys. Jerry, I think it is, isn't it? Revelation 2015. Is that you, Jerry? I forget. Whoever, 2015. It's Wes.
Yeah, I was just wanting to know, doesn't Ted Cruz have the power to hold her in contempt of Congress?
If he had any balls, I think he does.
I feel like, why aren't they holding these people in contempt and forcing them to answer these questions? They have a right to do so.
By the way, why couldn't she tell you? Why couldn't she tell you? If he hadn't done it, why would she just say, no, hell no, we wouldn't do that. She didn't say that, did she? No,
or ask, who can tell me?
Yeah, who can tell me? Good question, Chad. Who can tell me, right? Paul and Gary.
Hey, two questions, or two things. Number one, isn't that the same Ted Cruz, the same January 6th was a terrorist event?
That's what I said, man. Be careful.
And number two, this is one big clown show, okay? Yes. This is Barnum and Bailey Circus. Yep. And, I mean, that woman was like, you know, when you used to have the hostages in Lebanon that would give a statement, and they're facing the camera. Yep. There's a guy in the gun with a gun in the back pointing it at them. If they don't answer right, they'll get shot. That's probably what it was.
That's probably it. John McCain, he did that, right? Good thoughts, Paul. Gary, come on in, then Joe.
Yeah, isn't this, to me, what I saw with that FBI so-called second in command, I don't want to even give her that title, is I see someone here who is basically putting herself above the law. So the another proof to me, as far as I'm concerned, of the government being lawless.
That's right. Putting her right, they are above our right to know. How'd that ever happen to us? Joe, come on in, then Craig.
Yeah, each three-letter division has a black ops group. That's probably what this guy was about.
Yep.
And when that lady was up there talking about that, that was a show. And when they go in the back rooms, they'll have another meeting, and then she'll explain why.
Yeah. If they even ask.
But they won't do it during the public.
No, they're out there high-fiving each other that they got away with it. Come on in, Craig.
Well, I'd say it goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan and the continuity of government. The problem is what government are trying to continue. You know what I mean?
Amen. That's right. Huh? Well, that's going to lead into my commentary. Get the commentary up. Did somebody else want to come in? A name just disappeared on me.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, Coach, it's Randy, RJ.
Yeah, RJ.
Yeah, when you hit that point in the questioning, when you keep getting that, well, we can't reveal our sources. And it's not a question of source and method. It becomes one of them.
You broke up there at the end, RJ.
Whoever's questioning needs to bring up, is it the policy of your organization, agency, FBI, CIA, that you do not investigate your own agents, your own operations, your own black ops? Do we just deny that that's going on? Well, you can go down a line with that.
Yeah, but part of RJ is they only give them 3 minutes. They want to only give them 3 minutes because they don't want those follow-up questions. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, this is actually really good for us, for our side. We already know they're all compromised. Not, there's lots of people in our country, we know, that they don't know. And now, by bringing this out publicly, they're actually exposing it to all the people that won't go hear this somewhere. So it's actually it's a play out of a movie, Coach. They have to let this play out to let everyone see what's really happening and feel the pain. If we don't... Yep. If the people never – this red flag event you're talking about, it's going to happen, and it has to, Coach, because until you see it, you just won't believe this stuff. And this is the plan. It's to let everybody feel hurt, see it all. You're going to have to let them see it. They'll never change.
That's right. They got to see it. I'm with you. Come on in, Chad.
Well, just to throw another hypothesis in, what if Ted Cruz was talking about, yes, in fact, it was a terrorist act, But then he does these questioning because at some point maybe they're trying to be able to file some terrorism charges on these so-called FBI agents. I'm just saying.
In the meantime, about 100 of our friends are still in jail.
Yeah, still right? Rotten jail, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, Jeff, I'll get you. Well, go ahead quickly, Jeff.
Coach, that was funny. You said 3 minutes. Yesterday, I looked at the superintendent and I said, listen, I had to tell that Dr. Bennett, quit smirking at me on the 3 minutes. He looked at me and said, well, today you get more than 3 minutes. And he laughed. He said, you get all the time you want. It was good.
Amen. Amen. Folks, I wrote this morning, last night, yesterday morning, actually, right after the show. And it's amazing when I write, I start with a title. I always start with a title. And because that gives me a subject. And then I write. And yesterday, when I started with a topic, and when I was done, I had to go back and change the topic. So this just came out of me. And I want to share it with you today because it really poured out of my heart really, really quickly. What God do you serve? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? I could have just posed that. I don't trust anyone associated with the government. That's a statement, and I'm saying it again. I don't trust anyone associated with the government. Trust but verify. Those are the famous words that President Reagan uttered when explaining his policy regarding the Russians and nuclear weapons. Although the statement is profound in its simplicity, verification is no longer permitted nor required in this upside-down world in which we live. George Orwell said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And we're surely living in a time of universal deceit. As my own father once told me, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you say. Of what you see, I'm sorry. I guess my dad was Mr. Trust but Verify before Reagan ever thought of it. True science is unbiased. Fake science is not. Fake science is censored research sold to the highest bidder. Science will find an answer you're looking for if you have deep enough pockets. We're seeing the prostitution of science and scientists everywhere we look in the world today. Pharmaceutical companies are not much more than glorified streetwalkers lobbying the halls of government. Dr. Fauci is a science whore. Follow the money and you will see who is paying for his version of science. Questioning science is science. This may offend some of my more secular readers, but there is no truth apart from Jesus Christ. That's why telling the truth is so revolutionary. Jesus was a revolutionary. He attacked lies and liars. It cost him his life. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies. It tells us that in the devil, there is no truth. Anything Satan says is a lie. He is incapable of speaking the truth. At least that's what the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible. I see scientific evidence of that fact everywhere I look. Our government leaders lie. Educators lie. Medical experts lie. Judges lie. Our media's lie. Pastors lie. Jesus said that they are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. Fauci serves the devil. So do the bosses at the WHO and Moderna and Pfizer and the CDC. None of them serve Jesus. As Bob Dylan famously sang, you got to serve somebody. Perhaps it's time we took a good hard look at who our leaders actually serve. Can you name for me one, just one, national leader who on a regular basis publicly mentions the name of Jesus Christ? I'm going to pause. Can somebody tell me one? An elected official who regularly uses that name publicly? Jesus told us that if we were ashamed of him before men, he would be ashamed of us before his father. By the way, the father of Jesus is not named God. God bless America, I hear our leaders parrot. Which God? I ask them. There are many gods. Which God are you appealing to? Almighty God has a name. His name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Why won't our leaders confess that name? Does Joe Biden serve Jesus? He claims to be Catholic. Do you ever hear him mention the name of Jesus? Does Fauci serve Jesus? Pelosi? Camel Toe Harris? How about Schumer? Chris Wallace? Joy Reid? Rachel Maddow? Liz Cheney? Hillary? Bill? Obama? Big Mike? How did America allow into so many positions of power those who serve other gods? Money, fame, prestige, self, power, the devil. There is a devil, you know. Millions of people actively serve him. Some openly, some unwittingly. But remember what our friend Bob Dylan told us. You got to serve somebody. I'm a truth teller. I call him like I see him. It's got me in more trouble than you can imagine. People hate truth and those who speak it. Jesus warned us of that. He told us that truth tellers would be hated of all men. He explained that they hated him first. The more you speak like Jesus, the more they're going to hate you. He was called the rock of offense. We are most like Jesus when we speak the truth, especially when it is not popular to do so. They call the truth hate. Truth is the new hate speech. But only truth makes us free. Look around. Is America free? Can lies make you free? Masks, mandates, threats, jabs, censorship, lockdowns. Why are liars so afraid of debate? When did science become settled? Science is never settled. It is only verified or confirmed. The goal of science is truth, not consensus. Consensus is not truth. Truth is forever settled. Jesus is truth. Compromise is always a partial lie. Ooh, that's good. That's from the Holy Spirit. Compromise is always a partial lie. Give a little to get a little only weakens truth. The same folks telling us to wear a mask and get vaxxed are the same folks telling us that an unborn baby is not a person. Now we turn to judges to determine whether or not God's word is truth. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. How could you be known if you were not a person? My body, my choice only applies to the devil's kids. Fauci and his fellow Luciferians change the rules every day. Almost nothing that they have told us has been true. Over 2 years into this mess, America's pastors are still dancing with the devil. Truth has fallen in the streets and it cannot get up, the scripture says. Prophet Isaiah told us that. Isn't it time for some Jesus followers to help him, the truth, get back up on the feet? Everything that is happening in this nation is the fault of the church. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Truth is surrounded by evil and the pulpits are complicit with the coup. America's problems are spiritual, not political. We're happy serving other gods. You got to serve somebody. Look in the mirror. Who are you serving? The pastors prophesy lies. The people love it that way. Follow the money. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Cha-ching. Who are you serving? There's our problem. Come on in, Paul.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, is trust the science becoming about as reliable as trust your government?
It's the same, isn't it? Right? You're not allowed to question it.
And what it is, Coach, is we are not a biblical, you know, I remember Obama several years ago said we're not a Christian nation. People got upset. Right. Well, in some ways, he's right, because we're not a biblical nation. We're more of a Talmudic nation.
The Talmud
talks about pedophilia, all this stuff that you see going on, because that's who controls all the major industries of our country. I opened a can of worms. But
you're poking them in the eye now.
That's what's going on.
Amen. Dr. Goslin.
Yeah, I met with my lawyers and to discuss what my testimony was going to be in front of the medical board. And I push in the direction of more of a religious, or as we're talking about, I'm not talking about the science. I'm going to need help on this one.
Yes.
You know, as you know, the science is it's just a bunch of lies. They're going to use their science, and I'm going to use my science. So it's going to be about Jesus.
You're going to use your truth, Paul. You're going to use your truth, right?
I'm going to use the truth. Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that, other than I know what my truth is.
Amen,
it's a broken system, and I'm going to do my best to break this down.
Amen. Come on in, Craig.
I only know one politician, high-ranking politician in my lifetime. We're talking federal level, and that was Donald Trump and his wife that ever mentioned the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Not allowed to use that name, right? God, 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 God. Yeah, there's all kinds of gods. Get away with that. Craig, come in.
Great quote, Winston Churchill. In wartime, which we are, the spiritual war, truth is so precious that she should always be attended by a body of lies. That's a very profound statement.
It is. Yes, sir, it is. Truth has fallen in the street and it can't get up. Gary, come on in. And Randy.
Yes, I just want to say, in the 19th century, and I want to say it was Charles Finney, but I'm not sure about the name, but it was someone that's pretty well known, went through a whole litany of social ills, and basically said, if this is happening, the pulpit's responsible for it. If that's happening, the pulpit. Yeah, I can't remember who said it, but
Charles Finney said it. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Randy,
Coach, your document, or you should be published, and I wish it could be published in the whole country and let them read it. It's absolute, Coach. It's an absolute point. There's no relativism at all to it. And it's not secular. Coach, the problem is with the church is they are secular. They serve a secular Jesus. It's not the real Jesus. It's all spiritual, Coach. Our life, our walk is a spiritual walk 24/7. It is. There's nothing secular to me. There's nothing secular to you. And this is the only way to point out. That's an awesome commentary, Coach.
Secularism is of the devil, brothers and sisters. Secularism is apart from Christ. It's of the devil. It's a lie. Bernie.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Just remember that they don't have a commandment to not bear false witness. In fact, false witness is their main tool. And also, but we would lie to an enemy because, I mean, that's, you want to act like you're going to run when you're going to pass, right?
Yes.
We use fakes all the time when you're in the enemy, but we're talking about friends, and this is all, well, that's my point. They don't have a commandment because their commander is a liar.
Well, Bernie, there shouldn't be any enemies in our government.
Right. They're our government.
They're lying because they're enemies of the truth. They're enemies of our government, enemies of the truth. They sure are. Julie. Julie, did you hear me there, sweetie? Got on mute. No? Well, I know you want to get in. I know you do. God, I got so much I want to.
Let's go with it, Coach.
Go ahead. Real quick, Coach, I want to see about getting that document. Can we get a copy of that somehow?
Yeah, put it in the chat there for me, Spencer,
we'll stick that.
Because folks, listen, somebody said it earlier. Folks, please hear this. I started out complimenting pastors, talking about how hard a job it is. I did. I honor pastors. I honor the good ones. But most of, I can use that term most. Most of our pastors don't believe in absolute truth, friends. They don't believe in it. If our pastors believed in absolute truth and that Jesus Christ was the source of all truth, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in now. There's absolutely no way. If we believed in the absolute truth, I cannot believe that we have those still today making the argument that you can be a Christian and a homosexual. I cannot believe that people believe that. Folks, how can that possibly be? And so there you go, Coach. You hate homosexual. I hear that all the time. I hear it all. I hate homosexuality. Just like I hate alcoholism. I don't hate alcoholics. Right? But see, homosexuality busted down the door of the church. That's what happened. They busted down the door of the church. We didn't stand and defend the gates. We didn't defend it. Because why? Well, we thought Jesus was about loving, tolerance, acceptance, diversity, all that crap that the secularists served us. Lies. Every bit of it lies.
Amen.
And we are here today because why? Those who are the ones who are the barriers or the defenders of truth, their doors have fallen open. Truth is no longer in our churches. Wait a minute. Some truth. Oh, there's some truth in there. You can open up this Bible, love your neighbor, and some guy in the pulpit can tell you that means let the homosexuals come and serve in the choir. They can twist it that way. You can find, if you don't have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you can find permission to do about anything. But there is still such a thing as right and wrong, and truth and a lie. And unfortunately, when you walk into the front door of your church, you're walking, in most cases, into a place that is full of partial truth. Compromise, didn't I say the Holy Spirit told me? That all compromise is partial lies. All of it. And we are in the mess we are in because we have compromised ourselves into opening the church to the gates of hell. That's what's happened to us. And now you see it all. It started with the Scopes monkey trial when they told us to teach our children that they came from apes. That's where it started. And no rebellion came from the church at that time. In fact, you can go into a Christian school today, and I promise you, the Christian school teaches evolution. I'm sorry, they do. Now, wait a minute. I believe in microevolution. I believe in evolution within species. I can look at my wife and my grandchildren and see evolution. I see a little bit of her and my grandchildren. In fact, I see a little bit of me and my grandchildren. That's evolution. That's microevolution. But I don't see, there is no evidence anywhere ever that a bird became a frog. There is zero evidence of macroevolution. None. And we in Christian schools teach it to our kids. Somebody prove me wrong. So it's by compromise, a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. And we're in the mess that we were in because we have compromised ourselves out of the truth of the scriptures and claim to be Christians.
Amen.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. So, again, we got to rise up, man. Huh? That's why I said, good for Jeff. Good for Jeff going and speaking the truth. Let's look around us. Let's quit worrying about Ted Cruz. Let's find out what the heck's going on with our pastor. Why is our pastor teaching these lies to our people? Why is it Michelle showed up yesterday at a Christian volunteer event and had to put on a mask? Judgment begins first in the house of the Lord. See you tomorrow. God bless you.